Hello and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum ben Moshe. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about discerning between good and bad. We all have children, and many times we have big questions about what shouldn't we tell them about this world? What should we expose them to and how, in order to serve them in the best possible way? Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, parents nowadays have to deal with many difficult questions. We live in a world that's imperfect, to say the least. Until a certain age, they grow up in a kind of bubble of love and warmth, and then when they become a bit older, the ages of 2, 3, and on, they start revealing the real world. Today, you have Lego with ninjas and swords. All of their TV shows are about struggles. Sam the Fireman, which is a show that they love, is about disasters, how he saves people from different kinds of disasters. And this is what children love watching. And they're really attracted to these kinds of things. And as a parent, it's very hard for you to prevent them from seeing these things. And so comes a big question of how do you raise a child correctly in such a world? How do you correctly explain about these things? So today we'd like to first of all understand how do I, as a parent, explain to my little child about reality? He sees guns, he sees wars. What do I say about all these things? We have to try and explain it to them in a various way, because we live in this world. We can't hide the world from them. And to position the child in some kind of an artificial bubble, that's all good. It's really not to their benefit. We'll make them unfit for life. This is on the one hand. On the other hand, I think that we have no choice. We have to expose them to these things. But still, we have to make sure that they won't be immersed in them. We should encourage them to become a part of some sports team. Take up photography, science, anything. To give a child something in order for him to be engaged as little as possible in the world itself. And in this, we're not really harming a child. Because until he'll grow up, the world will go through many metamorphoses. And it's not a big deal if today he's not familiar with Sammy the Fireman. Do you know him? No. Back in my days, there were other heroes. I forgot who. This is a relatively good show. Right, still. They show how he saves people and probably children. Right. Every day something terrible happens and he saves everyone. A kind of Superman. Yeah, they're really drawn to Superman and superheroes. Yeah, because they want to feel protected. Naturally, this is what a small person wants. Or to be a grown-up, to be strong. So, what's the question? The question is, if they're so drawn to it and like it, is it good to allow them to play around with it, or they're getting a negative example from it? What should our attitude be? I don't think that we can abstain all these things and to do like half and half, give children different limitations and so on. If all in all, they're in such a terrible world, then maybe from the other side, like what I'm hearing, is that we only have to make them fit for this terrible world. Know how to hit before you're hit. Know how to cheat others before they cheat you. Go and really break, destroy, enjoy life. let's eat and drink for tomorrow we die. Be a good egoist. No, this is a very special philosophy. Let's call it a normal philosophy. That I should learn how to box and learn how to do other things in order to know how to deal with everyone. And this way, I'll know how to survive. Or I'll go to science class, music, things like that. And I'll disconnect from this world of physical heroes, and I'll be in a world of, let's say, heroes in spirit, science, and so on. It's a question, but it's something that you have to choose according to the child's character. But that's how you do it. But to raise him to be good to others, considerate, sensitive, things that we do tend to think that they're the right things. For this, we need the child to be in an environment that's more or less suitable for it. Also, that the child will have natural inclination towards that by character, and also to build this kind of world for them, to show them corresponding movies and books, and to be influenced by the grown-ups that talk about it, and so on. Meaning, it has to be something where the child will be in this kind of framework, otherwise it won't help. And we have to see what is he drawn to, what kind of friends and so on. And there we have to invest too. What do you mean to see what are they drawn to? They're different children with different inclinations. I grew up in a family that had means. Both of my parents are doctors, good doctors. They earned good money. So I had a backyard, and in the backyard there was a ping pong table. That back then it wasn't simple to get one. And besides, I had a bicycle. Of course, I had several balls, a big dog that I used to ride like a horse. When I was still little. And I took different classes, photography, astronomy, and I was busy all day long. Besides them sending me to music school, I couldn't stand it. I did what I could in order to run away. And they took me to watch different movies about musicians, composers. They really wanted for me to be a musician. Afterwards, my mother wanted me to become a doctor. So she sent me to different classes and activities until I started studying medicine in the university. And I ran away after a few months. By character, I can only be engaged in something that I'm drawn to. And I'm drawn to the meaning of life. What are we living for? And so eventually I went to this kind of university where I studied the systems of the human body to see how does man, how does the human body work as the main and most qualitative part of nature. But still, they tried. Back then, there wasn't that much television. There was just one or two TV channels. And we did have a phone at home because they were doctors, but phones weren't frequent at all. Meaning, they tried to fill my life with what they thought is good. And this is exactly what I'm trying to understand. Previously, we said that maybe we should prepare children for today's world, but in their way. In their way. Sometimes my parents didn't, and I disagreed. Right. And you also said that there's another option to put a child in a positive environment, that if a child has an inclination towards that, that according to his inclination, you can already direct him towards something like that. So this is what I'm trying to ask. Are there children that have an inner inclination towards that good? Everyone, every child has an inner inclination towards something. Maybe we don't identify it because he goes into a certain society, and then because of his ego, he wants to be like that society, to be appreciated, respected, and so on. But actually, everyone has a certain inclination towards that good that you're talking about. Yes, but I'm recommending you not to simply go to some psychologist that will tell you to do something that's trendy today, but to try and see different inclinations in the child. It's really clear whether the child has an inclination towards the still, the vegetative, or the animate. Does he want to play with white little mice or plants or with big animals? It's something that we can immediately see. This is called raise a child in his own ways. You have to see what is he drawn to, and it could be from very young age. So every child has the traits and inclinations that he's born with, and we as parents, as adults, have to gently try and identify them. And then when I identify that, suppose my daughter has a certain inclination, to encourage her to develop that potential in her. And another child, you have to find some other approach for him, to find what is his potential and help him develop that. Yes. Okay. Now I want to add something. In our world, there are also bad things, not only good things. And you said you can't close the child in a bubble. Sure, he'll have to deal with the evil and everything, but you can't raise him in a way that he'll come out unfit for life. So I have a boy and I have a girl and he's unique in that and she's unique in this and I'm supporting them and all that I can. I have the means, suppose, everything. Now I want to rise above this a bit. So my girl is special in that. My boy is special in this. I nurture that. Suppose she's drawn to science. He's drawn to sports. Great. Now, besides that, there's also the world that they live in. Now, like you said, when they'll grow up, they'll have to deal with the bad, with the evil things in the world. So how do I prepare them in the best possible way to deal with the evil that they'll see in other children in the future, it'll be in other grown-ups? What's the right way to prepare them? The main thing is to let them be who they are. I had a friend who had this white little mouse living in his pocket. He liked animals. Yeah, small white mouse. He used to take him out, give him something to eat. The mouse didn't run away. He used to eat and put him back in the pocket. The first time I saw it, it was really strange, and I didn't know what to do. And afterwards, I became used to it. This is how he is. This is who he is. Yeah. So, if we have a child with this very clear inclination, great. Okay, this I understand. Okay, but what about children that are aggressive, that they like to be aggressive with other children to allow them to develop it? Yes, but in the way that it's customary in society. How? He should study boxing, or doesn't matter exactly what. I had such friends. Meaning for him to be aggressive in a, so to speak, customary fashion. Yeah. The question is to what extent to allow them to watch this kind of content that they like, that encourage this kind of behavior in them, because I don't even know if it's a child's natural inclination or, like you said, that everyone has an evil inclination. No, good or evil inclination has nothing to do with the child's natural inclination. It has to do with how does the child express it. But the inclination is a natural inclination and it's not good or bad. How do you guide a child to use that inclination in a positive way? What kind of an environment do you have to give him in order for him to distance himself from evil? Like it says in the Torah, if he wants to kill, then send him to be a butcher. Meaning, every inclination can be used in a positive or in a negative way. What's customary in society is good, and what isn't, isn't. Okay. Up until now, everything's clear. What I want to ask about is, everyone has a natural inclination. The only question is, how do you bring a child to use it in a positive instead of in a negative way? In the world around him, he'll see how plenty of different inclinations are used negatively because we live in a bad world. Do homework with him about it. Meaning, what did you see today? What do you think about this and about that, about the different things that you saw? How do you relate to all these different things? Should you stand them? How do people look at these things? What's going to happen with those children when they grow up? How do you look at them? How do you appreciate them? Yes, no. What can you do in order to help these children to develop in a better way? Were they grown-ups and no longer children, they would have been put in prison for these things. It's in the meantime that they're allowed to do these things. So what can they do so that in a few years when they'll reach the age of criminal responsibility, that they won't do these bad things? Talk to the child. Explain it to him. He has to gradually get to know these systems. He has to know what will happen if he does or doesn't do a certain thing and so on. It'll help him to avoid these things. And how do you explain this evil? What do you say about it? Why does it exist? Because of our nature. A person's not to blame. It's his nature. I explain it to everyone in the simplest way. We are evil to begin with. Each of us wants to see himself as the greatest, as the superior, and the other as the inferior, and this is how I want to see the entire world. You can explain it to children, they'll understand. Yeah, we see that that's how it is. Anyone who's greater suppresses the smaller. The stronger eats the weaker. Yeah, but why should he? But he sees it in the movies, in the cartoons. So what is there to explain here? I only explain that this is how it is in life. But along with it, we can relate to these things differently. Yeah, but why should we? Otherwise, we'll eat each other up. What kind of a society will it be? We have to build a society that will make up for it in a good and nice way. You see, in the still, the vegetative, and the animate, maybe I can't explain it to a child this way, but the still, the vegetative, and the animate, they supplement each other by nature. They don't eat each other just so. Man can kill 1,000 chickens when he needs only half a chicken, but he's willing to kill all of them. But in nature, there's no such thing. In nature, it's only as much as you need in order to survive, to sustain yourself, and that's it. A lion finishes his portion and he leaves it, that's it. He doesn't care about what's left. But with man, it's different. He thinks about tomorrow and the day after. To share with someone? No. The main thing is not to give it to the other. And is there something bad about this, or is it just human nature? It's human nature, but if we follow nature, if we go by nature, then by this, we cause all the poverty and hunger in the world. Because I won't give you, even if I don't need it anymore, and you won't give me. So we have to supplement nature. It's not that I'm going to take from myself to the benefit of others, no. But how can we live in the same way as the still, the vegetative, and the animate, but on the human degree? That on the human degree, we don't want to give or leave anything to anyone. Let's think, how can we do it? So everyone will have that at least I don't want to harm others. A lion doesn't wish others ill. He just wants to eat. No one wants to harm anyone else on the animate level. Only man harms. His evil inclination is what has to be treated. So this is the first thing that I explained to a child, that man's nature is different from that of a lion, and that this nature is harmful to others, that it makes the world an evil place. Right. So what I explained to the child is that the other child that he saw misbehaving isn't to blame. This is how his nature activates him from within. Yes. Okay, so this is the first insight, that man's nature, even if it's a little child at school or in kindergarten, drives him to do bad things. Yeah, he wants to beat someone up. He has two things in his hands. He won't give you one. And I have to explain that this is how the child is operated from within, that this nature. Right. And this why he's a human being and not an animal. This additional ego makes a human being out of him. Now, what I don't understand is, what's bad about it? Suppose the child understands that man and lion have a different nature. What's bad about that? It's nature. You know what? Were I your child and you'd explain this to me, what I'd say to myself now? Well, my dad's so smart, he explained to me how I'm operated and everyone else. Now it's really clear. Thanks to this insight, I understand what my task in life is. You know what it is? To be the strongest lion in the jungle. And this how everyone will be? I don't know if everyone. No, not the lion in the jungle. No animal behaves this way. Again, this is what you have to explain to him. Don't give him animals as an example. Okay, but you also said that man and lion are different, that man has additional ego. So I go out to the street. I have to go out with a gun and armor and see that no one else shoots me. That's true, but what's more important is that, so to speak, I shoot them first. Before I protect myself because I'm weak, I want to be number one. I want to be the strongest after I understood what you explained. This is the life that you wish for your children? I'm trying to understand, were I a child, what would I think after my father explained to me that this is everyone's nature? I'd like to simply be number one. So this how the world is. That's the world. And therefore, everyone has to buy a gun. Everyone needs a bulletproof vest. This, as an adult, I understand what you're saying. But what's the other thing that you're going to teach me after you taught me that this is what man is by nature, that he wants to eat everyone up? How to convince a child that he should behave differently? I know that many times I explain this to my child, and then he tells me, Mom, today I'm not going to give a good example in kindergarten. I don't want to be a good boy. Because he doesn't want the responsibility. He wants to be like everyone, like Owen says. I see these examples in kindergarten, so don't come and tell me that I have to be different. So how to give him the feeling that it's worthwhile doing, that he'll benefit from it? Education. No other way about it. But we have to know that still, by good education, he acquires security and this kind of armor where he doesn't need anything. By that, you actually promise him a good life, that he'll be in a good society, that he'll be treated well, and that he'll know how to get the maximum benefit out of society for a good and tranquil life. And to all the time overpower others won't work. We see it. So maybe going back to the first question, how do I become the more influential factor in his life compared to the environment? You have to teach him how to be really cunning towards other children in order to bring them to listen to him and for them to compete in a good way. Compete in a good way meaning what? Children, and everyone in general, want to compete. And therefore what we need is to choose good things that all in all, we all enjoy. But so that we'll be able to, so to speak, discharge this inclination, you know, use it a bit, this evil that I have to, that it comes out of me, that I have to push someone and do something to someone. Especially to a child, also to grown-ups. You have to allow them these things. So they should play cards or bowling or soccer. Why did it all develop, especially in our times? Because it allows a person to blow out some steam. Only we have to do it in a better way. But this is what we need. This is what we want. We have to give a child the wisdom of how can he manage society in such a way that the competition will be good. That the competition will be good. And it's possible. And if he's exposed to, suppose, boycotts, bullying, he's invited. Come join us against someone else now. Let's not let this friend play. He should be smart enough in order to twist them the way he wants. If he can't avoid it, then he should turn them the way he wants. Meaning what? That competition or struggle between the groups, that it'll be in a way that eventually it doesn't awaken hatred. So that he'll be a positive factor inside his group. Because no one benefits from it. We have to think how to do it. But I wouldn't teach him to hit back. Because then he hits back, you hit back. You take a knife, he takes a knife. He takes a gun, you take a gun. So this is how we're going to be. How do you develop cunningness in a child? A positive kind of cunningness for him to know how to avoid different kinds of disputes in a way that he doesn't come out looking bad, because the main thing for him is still to, you know, remain in his ego. For him to know how to get out of each and every state in a way that he won't come out harmed. What he has to understand, the nature of others. It's politics. There has to be cunningness there, but a good, positive kind. One way or another, I want to get out of all of these struggles, not to stay in them in a way that today those will go against me, tomorrow these will go against me, and so on. Something that every parent would like to teach his children. We have to start with the parents. Yeah, we'll have to go back and learn how to do it. Dr. Leitman, our time's almost up, but I'd like to ask, as a parent, what's the most important insight that I should take with me so that I'll have the right attitude? We have to teach, we have to educate the parents. So I'm asking, what's the most important insight that I should keep? That the world's bad because human nature is bad. And we can only do one thing. Gradually to teach, to educate the grown-ups, not children. Children, they can't hear you. Because the only thing acting in them is the evil inclination, as it says, until the age of 12 and 13, that there's no good inclination. There's only the evil inclination there. And therefore, we have to teach grown-ups. What do we have to do in order not to be so bad to others? And by that, by this atmosphere, by the spirit that exists in society, the children will feel what's happening with us and they'll calm down. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.